Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. To the Gospel of Luke, where we will look at chapter 12 today, Luke 12, verse 54. We're focusing on exclusive accounts by the writer Luke on the life and ministry of Christ. Every passage we're reading are those unique contributions that Luke gives in painting the portrait of who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. Today we look at Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through verse 59, as we consider this sermon series. Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through verse 59. Listen closely, for this is God's word. Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way. Or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pause for prayer. We ask, O Lord, that you would pour your Spirit upon us, that you would open our attentive minds and our receptive hearts, and grant us faith to grow in Christ. In his name we pray, amen. The playwright Oscar Wilde once said these words, "Conversation about the weather is the last refuge of the unimaginative." Now, if that's the case, then why do people talk so much about the weather? Anyone, why do people talk about the weather? Anybody? Easy? Icebreaker? Yeah. I wrote down four reasons why I think people talk so much about the weather. It is a great icebreaker. Rather than awkward silence, you can talk about the weather. It's a safe topic. No matter what you say, it's hard to offend someone with a comment about the weather. It's a universal topic. Everyone experiences the weather. And it is a socially appropriate topic. You can talk about the weather with friends as well as strangers, with your superiors as well as your subordinates. It's interesting. Weather is a safe conversation, but weather can also prevent us from having meaningful conversations with the people around us about meaningful things. Instead of talking with one another about stimulating matters or challenging ideas that are catalysts for needed change, we often talk about what is safe, what is familiar, what is risk-free. In other words, we talk about the weather. And so this year, if we at Cedar Church hope to experience renewal, revival, reformation in our homes, our church, in our community, by growing in this, by growing in transparent friendship and authentic fellowship and generous hospitality that draws us nearer to Christ, we must talk to one another more than just about the weather. For that matter, I like talking about the weather. I actually do find it an intriguing conversation. And by the way, I don't mind if you talk to me about windmill cookies either. My wife played a trick on me this week and bought me some windmill cookies for us to talk about. So I'm okay with windmill cookies. You can ask me about that. But if our relationships are to grow closer and nearer to Christ and to one another, we're going to have to talk more deeply than just about the weather. And this brings us to our first point in today's message. Are you ready? First point, you can take notes. There's room in your bulletin attached pen just to remind you of that, our first point, and it's this. It's funny. Jesus talks about the weather. All right, so that's the first point in our sermon. Jesus talks about the weather. Verse 54. Let's read it again. Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is." There it is. Jesus talks about the weather. Now, why does Jesus talk about the weather? After all, I've been saying about going deeper, right, in our relationships with one another, our relationships with God, and not just talking about the weather. Here Jesus goes and starts talking about the weather. Well, remember our context. Luke chapter 9, where we began this sermon series, verse 51, Jesus makes a fateful decision to begin his journey down the Jerusalem road. That is what the author Luke says. It says Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. What that means is that his work up north in his home province of Galilee was done. And now he turns his face toward Jerusalem, and for 11 chapters, Luke will highlight this theme. He will highlight it from chapter 9 all the way through chapter 19, reminding us again and again that we, the reader, are with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. Now, in the middle of Luke chapter 12, Jesus begins speaking to his disciples exclusively about the Jerusalem road and about how demanding and sacrificial the journey will be. And he also talks about how divisive the journey will be. But then in verse 54, he decides to address the crowd, and that's where we began in verse 54. If you have a red print Bible, you'll see that black print jump right out at you as Jesus addresses the crowd in verse 54. And he's about to share with them the demanding message of walking with down the Jerusalem road, that this demanding message requires significant faith and painful repentance to walk with Jesus down that road. And so Jesus needs a bit of an icebreaker to get the conversation started. He needs a universal topic that the crowds can identify with. He needs a socially disarming opener to catch their attention. And so Jesus begins talking about the weather. Hey, how about that weather? So there you have it. There is a place, I think, for weather talk in the church, weather talk among people who are united by faith or in a religious setting. It's fine to talk about weather at church. Now, it is not about the actual weather Jesus speaks. Rather, in his icebreaker, Jesus brings up two common sayings about the weather. Now, you and I use sayings about the weather like these all the times, and it lubricates our conversation with each other. Here are a few common sayings we often say about the weather. In like a lion, out like a lamb. April showers bring May flowers. Red at night, sailors delight. Red in the morning, sailors take warning. I could go on and on. I actually looked up a whole bunch. Some I'd never heard of before. Some were new to me. Clear moon, frost soon. How about this one? Lightning never strikes the same place twice. A wind from the south has rain in its mouth. I guess that depends where you live. Well, the two statements that Jesus, back to our text, that Jesus makes about the weather are basically these. Clouds in the west bring rain. Clouds in the west bring rain. The other statement is wind from the south brings heat. Wind from the south brings heat. Now, these were very simple sayings in the days of Jesus. Everyone in the crowd could have identified. They would know and experience this to be true. Because you see, in the land of Palestine, the land of Israel, weather is influenced by the desert and by the sea. By the desert and the sea. The Mediterranean Sea lies to the west of Jerusalem. And so the rain clouds would always rise and blow in from the west. It's very much like our lake effect here in West Michigan. All of that rain and precipitation and snow comes from our west over Lake Michigan. And whereas the desert in Israel, in particular, the most influential desert was to the south. It was called the Negev, Hebrew for desert. And that lies to the south, and so a southerly wind will bring you a heat wave. It's fascinating. You actually see the same weather pattern in the Old Testament in that story about Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings 17 and 18. Features the same weather pattern. Remember, kids, that story about the wicked king Ahab, and he was a worshiper of Baal, and he had 450 prophets of Baal, and so God was punishing his people with 3 years of drought. Elijah confronts those prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and after 450 of them try to bring a miracle, Elijah does, by God's grace, see that miracle and conquers those prophets. And so he goes to the ground to pray 6 times, bowing his head to pray, and 6 times the prayer for rain is not answered. But the 7th time, Elijah prays for rain after 3 years of drought. His servant looks towards the western sky over the sea, and he says, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah knew his prayer was answered. Rain was on its way. And so Jesus talks about the weather. And sometimes you have to do that with people. It's a safe topic. It's a universal topic. It's a disarming topic. But now this brings us to our second point. The first point, Jesus talks about the weather. The second point, Jesus goes deeper than the weather. Jesus goes deeper than the weather. You've got to go deeper. Look at verse 56. He goes pretty deep. "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Now, I'll admit, it's hard to go deep with someone when you have to reprimand them. When it's you and I, or maybe when it's just me, I can sometimes circle that plane around the field again and again and again before I can land it on the field of rebuke. It's hard to do. Sometimes we stay shallow and we never land that plane. But true friendship requires us to say hard but important truths to one another. And here at church, if we are to have transparent friendship and authentic fellowship at our congregation, it requires that we go deeper and that we speak honest truth. Sometimes it's hard truth, but the Proverbs say God rewards that. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says this, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but, listen to this, "profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Let us be friends, friends in Christ. So here, back to Jesus, he goes deeper than the weather, and he goes full tilt. He calls the crowd a bunch of fools. All right, that's a great way to get a crowd on your side, right? Call them a bunch of fools. No, he goes worse than fools. He uses a word I don't know that I would have used. I didn't quite understand it the first time I read it. He calls them hypocrites. Now, you and I know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who believes something, or rather says they believe something, but actually doesn't believe it, and it shows up in other ways. That's a hypocrite. Other times, a hypocrite may be someone who looks down on someone else for something that they themselves do elsewhere in private. That's another form of a hypocrite. But here, Jesus assigns the word hypocrite not to those who believe something but don't, well, say they believe something but actually don't, but he assigns it to the crowd who claim not to believe something when they should. And he calls them a hypocrite. He says, "You are experts at reading earthly weather." You are experts at talking nonstop about earthly weather. You are experts at crafting quaint little rhymes and sayings about the weather and then repeating them again and again and again and again. You're experts at it. But you hardly take any time to become an expert in heavenly weather. To be an expert in heavenly weather. For example, the crowds in the Gospel of Luke, all the way up to chapter 12, they have seen remarkable signs and wonders in the life of Jesus. We've seen all the way up to chapter 12 that the crowds have seen Jesus heal the sick. He even raised a little dead boy in the city of Nain to the widow. But still, they do not take hold of the sign. They hear him preach, they hear him teach, they hear him speak in parables, but they do not take hold of the sign. In this gospel, they have watched him cast out demons, control the sea, and defeat the devil in the wilderness, but they don't take hold of the sign. They watch publicly as the scribes and the Pharisees oppose Jesus fiercely, just like Israel did to prophets of old. It was always consistent. They're always fighting God's prophets, and yet they don't put two and two together and take hold of the sign. They hear the angel back in chapter 2, verse 12, say to the shepherds, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger," but they don't take hold of the sign. They overhear the prophet Simeon in the temple, chapter 2, verse 34, say, "This child is destined to do one of two things. He will cause either the falling or the rising of many in Israel, and he shall be a sign." But they do not take hold of the sign. The crowds were certainly not like the Old Testament sons of Issachar, those sons who 1 Chronicles 12, 32 says were men who had understanding of the times. One commentator writes these words. He says, "They do not see the cloud of grace and the cloud of blessing, nor do they observe the glowing heat of coming judgment." They can read that in the weather. They know all about when clouds of rain and winds with heat will be coming to their home community. But they do not see or take notice of the heavenly signs. This brings us to our third and final point before we take communion, the Lord's Supper this morning. Third and final point. The first was Jesus talks about the weather. The second one is Jesus goes deeper than talking about the weather. The third and final point is get ready for worse weather. Get ready for worse weather. So what do you do when you know bad weather is coming? Sometimes we'll wait and see, right? I'm just too busy. Sometimes we will take action. Really, when bad weather is coming, when you get that weather alert on your weather app or however you get your weather, if you are wise when really bad weather is blowing through West Michigan, then you, if you're smart, you'll close your windows, you'll shut the garage door, you will, whatever you need to do to get ready for that bad coming weather. This summer, there was some bad weather, a windstorm blowing through, and we forgot to wind the umbrella shut on the back of our deck. And after that storm, we found it in our front yard. And we are still trying to picture how did that happen. You know, I'm picturing it, you know, flying over, you know, the roof. I don't know. I don't know how it could have got there, but it did. And we had not prepared for the bad weather. And so Here we find Jesus rebuking the crowds because they're not getting ready for the weather. They're just waiting around to see what happens. They see all these signs and they're like, well, this is interesting. Let's see if it develops. The Pharisees and the scribes, they saw the signs of the weather. They didn't like the weather prediction. And so they opposed it. They just said, forget it. We're not doing what this weather forecaster tells us. And so Jesus is rebuking now all of them. We studied the woes he issued to the scribes and Pharisees in the previous chapter, and now he turns to the whole crowd, and he rebukes the crowd, and he rebukes the Pharisees and the scribes for not reading the signs and getting ready for worse weather. And then he turns, and he warns all of us to brace for coming weather. Look at verse 57. Verse 57, he says, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Let me speak to you heart to heart. On this Communion Sunday, let me share with you from my heart. Judgment Day is coming. It goes by many names in the Bible. It is called the Day of Visitation. It is called the Day of the Lord. It is called that day. It is called the latter days. And as we say in our Apostles' Creed, which is embraced by all branches of the church universal around the globe, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. That day is coming. And it will not simply be a day of great climate change, as Jesus speaks here in this mini parable about rain and wind and heat and storm. In the next mini parable, Jesus calls it a day of court, your court date. We all have a court date. And what should you and I do when we know our court date is coming? I'll tell you what we should do. It's what all the prisoners that we in prison ministry hear say to us in their prayer request while they are waiting for their court date. They pray. They prepare. But you see, here's our problem. We're not wearing clothes with stripes on them and a number on our left breast pocket. And so you and I are under the illusion that we don't think we're really that guilty. We don't think we really need to worry ourselves about a plea bargain with God before the court date. We refuse to settle with God while we still have the time because deep down, we just don't think we're that bad. In fact, we think our case is pretty strong. We're ready to go to court, ready to take the chance. We'll take the day when or if it comes, right? If. Shoot, we might even be our own lawyer on that day. We kid ourselves. Think about it. You already know your defense. God, I've not done much wrong compared to the next guy. I can tell you a lot of people who are much worse off than me. Oh, and God, you know, your rules were a little excessive, you know. You know, I mean, that 66 books in that Bible, there's a lot in there, God. And all this talk, God, about holiness. In the 21st century modern American context, holiness in this world, it's a little outdated, God. You sure do issue a lot of rules, God. Yes, even though you made me, you sure do like controlling me, God. God, I wasn't that bad. I'm sure you can grade on a curve. That's what my teachers, parents, profs, everyone I know, they would do. But deep down, you know, if you're honest, deep down, you know that what's going on inside of you and I is much worse than we're willing to let on. How do I know? I'm a pastor. I make a living in one way by observing people, and I know how we are. All right, let me ask you the first question. How would others judge you if they knew the real you? If you came to church one Sunday and just let it all hang out, every thought, every act, every past deed, every future intention, and you just let it all hang out, how would people react? We don't do that because we know we would be rejected. Secondly, how well do you know that person next to you that you are judging and comparing yourself to? That you're making yourself feel a step up because you're judging them. Do you honestly think you're judging them fairly? Do you really think you are comparing yourself to them fairly? Have you ever discovered that someone you were judging actually is a better person than you? How well do you live by that standard that you insist everybody else lives by? How well do you do it? Do you actually believe that you keep that standard that you have planted your flag upon? Are you angry when other people break that standard, but you cut yourself some slack when you break it? Are your pretended grievances with God, your charges against God of his unfairness, of his injustice, of his wrongness in making a decision that he made, are your pretended grievances with God really an excuse for not living like you should? Are your objections to God really greater than his objections about you? Dear friends, a day of judgment is coming, and it will be a day of awakening. It will be a day where all of these mental tricks we've played in our brain will be shown for what they are, and guess what? We will all be awakened that day, and many of us will find ourselves shocked as we agree about the indictment of how we lived our lives, and we'll only be able to say, God, you're right, even though we don't like the consequences. So I'm closing with some legal advice. I've been sent as an ambassador to tell you, you have a legal option. And it's a good option. And I would take this plea bargain in a minute. Settle with God today. He's willing to settle. It's easy to do, and it's not because you're innocent. It's not because new evidence about your conduct has been uncovered. It's not because I've now got a new legal precedent to follow, a new defense to offer you that will cloud you from your choices. No. The news is that your adversary and your judge on the high court is willing to show you clemency. He's willing to be your savior. This same Jesus who issued this stern warning is on the road to Jerusalem to do something about it. The judge is willing to suffer judgment on a cross for you. So I close with this question. Have you settled with God? Have you settled your case with God? Are you reconciled with God through faith in Christ and repenting of your sins? It's better to settle now with Jesus through the cross than to settle it with God later on your court date. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this two mini parables back to back taught by Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the weather. It has saved all of us many times to have that topic to bring up. And Lord, thank you that we can, by grace, as did Jesus, go beyond the weather and point to the transcendent matters of existence that the weather portrays. But Lord, we do pray that we would all prepare for a day of a great weather event, our court date. Lord, we're experts at seeing ourselves more highly than we ought and seeing others more lowly than we should and blaming God for the gap. Lord, we can blame you for the solution. We can credit you for the solution in Christ. Help us to quit playing games. You require all of us to be accountable. So, Lord Jesus, we pray your offer of the gospel would go forth today and that your Spirit would move and soften our hearts and untangle the weaving of our thoughts, and we would get right with God. That we would stop the silly games we play with our conscience and confess our need for grace and embrace Christ as offered in the gospel. And to share that same grace with those around us in our daily conduct and living and speaking and doing. And to proclaim that offer to all who would hear. While the day of clemency, the day of pleading, a plea offer is upon us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.